Let the whole church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time, God is good. To all of those who ask, I'm feeling pretty good this morning. I feel much better than I did yesterday, and I didn't feel truly bad yesterday, but I feel better today. So I'm thankful to God for that, and I know some of you have been praying for me, and thank you for the prayers, because I need every last prayer that you send up. If we all do. And before I go into my lesson this morning, just a few words on yesterday. The ladies, as usual, were fantastic.
Amen.
And I'm not going to try to call all the ladies' names because I know I'll miss somebody and somebody will be mad. So I'll just say to all the ladies and to all of those of you, yes, we all miss Brother Ray Miles. If picnic wasn't the same without him, but nevertheless, the show must go on. And I want to commend Brother Burnside, who stepped into that role. And he misses Brother Miles as well, but he did a fantastic job of doing what we needed to do to get the picnic ready. And so with that said, I want to thank all of you who came out on yesterday, and those of you who didn't, or because maybe you could not have made it or just chose not to make it, you missed a good picnic. So with that said, now I'll go into my lesson. I'll prepare for the beginning of the lesson, at least anyway. First of all, I know that many of you have read the bulletin, or maybe you haven't read the bulletin, but there's an announcement in there of Brother Shirley Brinkley's passing. Brother Brinkley, in case you don't remember, is Sister Jean Clemens' husband. And they were members here for a while with us. But they are no longer members. Brother Brinkley has passed away. He was 89 years old. So we ought to be thankful that God has spared us to still be here this morning. And we're so very grateful for that. Now, let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our precious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to know a God, the God, like you, Lord, because you are the only one that we can call upon in our times of troubles, in our times of need, in our times of despair and disappointment. You are there for us, O Lord, if we but just simply trust in you. Father, we're so thankful that this new morning has arisen in our lives and you have given us an opportunity to be here and be a part of it. We thank you for the lifting up of our sleepy eyelids on this morning and then the ability to get up, walk, and move about under our own power. We're so thankful, O Lord. We're so blessed to be a part of this day and we're so thankful to be a member of the Lord's body. We thank you for this local congregation here that's striving to keep the bloodstained banner held up high that all the world may see. And we know that the world that we live in is a darkened world, but we know that you are there, O Lord, and when we need you, we can call upon you. And we're just so thankful for that blessing. We're praying for the sick and the shut-in this morning. We're praying for those who have lost loved ones this morning. We're just so thankful that all is well with each and every one of us this morning. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you for resting us safely and securely on last night and then touching us this morning that we woke awakened. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus who one day went up Calvary's hill, mounted Calvary's cross, stretched out his arms and died on our behalf. We're just so thankful, O Lord, that you gave us this opportunity. We're thankful for each and every member here today, and we're praying that those who may not be here, if they're on their way, that they may get here safely. We pray for those who might be traveling on the highways and the byways and the waterways. We just thank you, O Lord. Father, we thank you for those who have already been out and about on their vacation and They made it back safely and securely. We're just so thankful for that, oh Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who are incarcerated this morning. We pray especially for those who are innocent in being incarcerated. We pray for all that are behind prison bars, that your words of freedom might reach them and that they may come unto you, O Lord. We pray for the parents who are raising their children upright. We just pray and ask you to give them a helping hand that they might continue to do what thus saith the Lord. We thank you for everything. We thank you for my health and my strength, O Lord. We thank you for everything, O Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus that as we move into these services that I pray for and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. The shepherd is coming for his sheep. From 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. In the Old Testament, the people look forward for the coming of Christ. The people of the New Testament have been waiting for his return. But here in our text today, he is seen as the chief shepherd with his sheep waiting, hurting, and homesick. One day he is going to come and we should be looking forward for that time when we shall no longer be looking for him, but instead we shall see him. Today, let us explore what we have to look forward to. Now, let me read the scripture for you as Brother Hall read so wonderful for you. Whoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God. Oh, I'm in the wrong. Sorry about that. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, I know these texts are speaking to the elders, but we're all going to meet Jesus one day, and we may as well get ready. So the first thing we want to do is find out who is the shepherd. Peter describes him in verse number 4 as the chief shepherd. What an honor that we should consider it to be one. We should consider to be one of his sheep. He is coming to call into account all of us. But what are the qualities that makes him the chief shepherd? Well, let us go way back into the Old Testament and see how Isaiah described him. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead these that are with young. Doesn't this paint a picture of Jesus to us? Let's continue to look at the man's qualities. Jesus described himself in his personal achievement section of his resume. In John chapter 10 and 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd who giveth his life for his sheep. He is a providing shepherd, according to David in Psalms 23. He writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the saving shepherd in John chapter 10. In verse number 28, Jesus again speaking of himself saying, and I give unto them, who is he speaking about? His sheep. According to verse number 27, eternal life, and I give unto them eternal life, and notice, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. out of my Father's hand. So just in case someone who doesn't know who the chief shepherd is, watch Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace brought again from the dead, and the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant. This verse sums him up. He has been brought back from the dead. He is that great shepherd of the sheep that describes no one but Jesus, our precious Savior. And if you didn't know him, today is the best time to get to meet him while you still can. Don't let another day go by that you don't know Jesus, because as Brother Thompson sung that song, we're living in troublesome times, and the troublesome times are here, and we need somebody, and I don't know of anybody better that can fulfill our needs but Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd, and he shall be coming back for his sheep. When he comes, he shall reward his sheep. Yes, he shall return. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. His promise made to us in John 14 in verse number 3. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. What shall his reward be for his sheep? Simply stated, the sheep who followed him shall be rewarded with a home in heaven. I may as well tell you that not all the sheep of his will be rewarded so well. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat. All of us are going to be there. Some of us may receive a great reward, some of us not so great. We may as well face the fact that judgment will not be like a church picnic like we had yesterday, where we had food, fun, and fellowship. It will be instead a place of regret for some, a place where eternal life will be handed out for some. For some, it will mean weeping and wailing when we see our lives put up before us. In other words, the record will be opened. In Revelations 22 and 12, Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward will be with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. For some, it will be a day of rejoicing. For some, a day of weeping and regrets. For others, it will be a day of, but for all of us, it will be a day of reckoning. His coming should affect all of us. Verses 1, 2, and 3 speaks to the elders and their duties. It reminds them to feed the flock by teaching them the sincere word of God and by being examples to the flock. And let me just say to the elders here, I'm not talking about you, so don't take offense here. I'm just going by what the Bible says. Feed the flock by teaching them the sincere word of God and being examples to the flock. One of the duties of the church is to preach and teach us how to overcome Satan. We need more on how we are to avoid Satan. Look at verses number 8 and 9 in chapter 5, verses 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But here's the key to it. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The devil is busy. How many times have you heard that saying? The devil is busy, and he's always been busy, and he always shall be busy. But we've got to learn to resist him, and he will flee from you, according to the Bible. We should all be believers in Christ Jesus. That should give us a greater appreciation for the truth, and we need to promote love and fellowship one to another. I know, preacher, you always talk about love and fellowship, and you always talk about being nice to one another. Well, that's what the Bible tells me to do, to preach and teach the true word of God. Verse 14 of 1 Peter tells us to greet one another with a kiss of love. This chapter gives a direction to the elders on how to behave themselves in reference to the flock, and also those who want to learn and learn to be obedient to the Lord. Now the chief shepherd is coming back for all who are his. He will not be coming back with any more warnings. Why? Because we have the Bible to give us all the instructions and righteousness we'll ever need while we are living. Though these few verses in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, are meant to speak to the elders and tells of how they are to treat their flock and how the younger ones are to be brought up, we all can learn the lesson that we are to be willing, ready, and able to follow Jesus Christ. For the chief shepherd is coming back for his sheep. We should be loving one another, exhorting one another, kind to one another. If we could but spend half as much time on loving each other as we do on trying to remember why I'm mad at that person in the first place, we would all be better off Christians. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to be mad at someone. And I'm not just talking to married folks. I'm talking to all folk. When you don't know why you're mad, what are you mad about anyway? If you don't know what you're mad about, then let it go. Let it go. It doesn't make any difference whatever happened 25 years ago. You're living in today. And God tells us to love one another and be kind to one another and exhort one another. Do you know the word exhort means to lift one another up? That means to heap praises on them if they're due praises. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and lie to nobody. But the Bible tells us to love one another because the chief shepherd is coming back. And when he comes back, he's bringing the rewards with him. And some of us may not like the reward that we get, but you can change that now if you start doing the right thing. You have a better outcome in the end. Now, I know that these troublesome times that are here upon us, like that song said a few minutes ago, times are troublesome. Now, I just heard this morning when I woke up, 5 or 6 people were shot and 1 killed. There's another shooting on the expressway. Now, I get on the expressway quite a bit, and I'm concerned about that. But I know that when I get on that expressway, the only thing for me to do is pray before I get on that expressway. Ask God to guide me and keep me safe and secure. And you ought to be doing the same thing. When you leave your home, as soon as you prepare to go out the door, ask God to be with you. You don't have to do a long, drawn-out prayer, but just ask Him to be with you while you're going out. And when you lock your door and get to your car, ask Him again, protect me, O Lord. Keep me, O Lord. Be with me, O Lord. Just ask Him to be with you and take you where you're going, that I may get there safe and securely. Now, I know that many of us think, well, doing all that praying ain't doing no good nowhere. I never seen the results of a prayer. Well, you just hang on. You just hold on, because prayer of the righteous availeth much. And I tell you this morning that when you pray, you're asking God for His help. God already knows what we need, but we're asking Him to help us, to guide us, and to keep us, and give us whatever it is that we're asking for. Now, don't go out there asking to send you a check for $1 million. That's not God doesn't write checks. We write checks to him for the furtherance of his work down here. We write them to the church. But God doesn't write checks. But God will give unto us what we need in order that we might survive. But the chief shepherd is coming back. And we may as well prepare to meet him, because even if we're not prepared, we are going to meet him, but we may as well prepare so that we can look better in front of him than those that don't prepare. We must learn to be ready, to get ready, because God is coming. Christ is coming one day. And when Christ comes, what a day that will be, when all of God's children will come before God. All of God's children shall meet God. And all of God's children shall be rewarded. Now, I'll tell the church, I was a little bit under the weather this past week. I had to go in for an emergency test. And that appears that it appears to be normal. So I thank God for that. I want to thank God for you all that prayed for me. But it tells me one thing, that I'm supposed to get ready, because I never know when the end will come. And it lets me know that I'm closer to that way than I am to this way. I'm closer to the grave, in other words, than I am to life. And life is fragile, but we must remember that we've got to live it while we've got it, because after it's over, it's over. There's no more, I'll do better next time. When the chief shepherd shall appear, all must be ready. Because he is coming. And I think about it even sometimes. I go back to my childhood. And some of you might say, well, my childhood is too far back for me to remember. But if you can remember back to your childhood, you think about how much strength, energy, and vitality, vim, and vigor you had when you were a child. I watched the kids at the picnic yesterday in the bounce house. And boy, if I could bottle up a little of the energy that they had, I could become a rich man selling energy in a bottle. Those kids jumped, and some of them never did stop jumping. I think they would have still been jumping if the jump house had still been here. But I just know that sometimes when we think that we're in good shape, things happen, stuff happens. And you better be ready, because God is coming, and if you're ready or not, he is still coming. But it's easier to be ready, to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. So how do I get ready, preacher? Well, it's very simple. Turn your life over to God. Be obedient to him and to his word. Stay obedient to him and his word. Now, as I look out in the audience today, I know there are many empty seats out there. But you know what? Don't worry about the ones that are not here. You don't worry about them. I'm not saying don't show any concerns for them, but don't worry about them, because they're going to have to get ready just like you have to get ready. You and I have to get ready. But the one thing I want you to know, that the church and the work of the Lord will go on whether you're here or not. And we must go on. So we got to get ready, for the chief shepherd is coming. He will soon appear. So get ready. And then how else do I get ready, preacher? Well, you connect yourself with Christ. You get into Christ. How do I get into Christ? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson just filled the pool this morning, so the water is fresh. It might be a little chilly, but it's still fresh. And Brother Jackson is also ready to take you down into the watery grave of baptism. But what if you've already done that? Well, you need to, and you walked astray. Well, you need to come back to the Lord by asking Him to forgive you, and to go with you, and ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. I know I'm finishing up a little early this morning, but I didn't need a whole lot of time to say, get ready. Because the Lord is coming. So if that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.